this is the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview entrepreneurs, speakers, authors, coaches, and people that are influencing the world, locally, nationally, globally. And we got a guest today that I met him about, actually pre-pandemic, right before the pandemic. Nice guy, business guy, hustler, you know, very rare to find, you know. Calvin Vitalis, he is a car salesman, real estate investor, coach, and a speaker. Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here, man. You know, the reason I'm excited to be here is because I always want to share. I always want to give back. I always want to bless other people, man. So when you reached out to me, I said, why not, man? Why not? I was busy working and hustling, grinding today and making things happen. But I wanted to take time to come out and just, you know, share my story. You know, maybe one person that I can speak to today that can take something from this that can change their life, you know. I've been through so much, and I think, you know, starting off an entrepreneurship at such a young age, I just would love to share my story and bless someone else. So thank you so much again for having me here. It's a pleasure being here. I'm excited about being here today. I love what you're doing with your business, and I continue to grow in your business, and anything that I can do, I would like to be a blessing. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on. So right off the bat, how did you start with entrepreneurship?
Entrepreneurship, man. I think I would say entrepreneurship is a lifestyle, man. It's not something. It's just part of me. I always say I love all things business, man. Anything business, entrepreneurship. I sleep, I eat, I breathe it. I just love it. It's like, if you tell me to watch a Netflix show and it doesn't have to do anything about entrepreneurship, it's hard for me to watch it. I watch every hour that I spend my day. I'm like, if I'm not doing something productive, it's hard. It's really super hard for me to just wind. People just say, oh, just lay on the beach for 10 hours. If I'm laying on the beach for 10 hours, I got my phone in my hand, I'm trying to get something done at the same time. So I started off at a young age. I'll give you a little story. I'll give you a little story. When I started off with entrepreneurship, my mom was, she used to go to a lot of flea markets and garage sales at a very young age. So she used to wake me up at like 5 a.m. in the morning and say, Calvin, let's go to these flea markets and garage sales. I used to have to go. She used to have a little flashlight. She'd put the flashlight and she's like a Gary Vee style. She used to go and she'd buy all these things to resell. So she would buy stuff and then she would take it and she would resell it. And that's how the first thing I learned about being an entrepreneur. You got to get something of value and then you got to flip it for a profit. And I was like, you know something. So after a while, I keep going to these flea markets and garage sales with her. I said, you know something, I gotta find something I can sell. So I was like, man, what can I sell? So then I was like, you know, let me start selling some beepers. Because a lot of people at that time had beepers. They would have old beepers. They would have old cell phones.
This is back in like the mid-90s.
Yeah, they would have old beepers that have old cell phones. I'm like, so I would go and I would buy these little beepers and phones from these people. And I found a little beeper shop near my house called New Wave Communication. I never met. And I started making friends with the owner. And the owner said to me, he said, hey, he started liking me. I said, well, look, I want to activate these beepers. I want to sell them. So he would show me how to take the cases off, add the string, change the colors, and it had the sidekick, and I would put the nice cases on it and everything, and I would sell these beepers. So what he did for me was, he's like, look, I'll activate the whole beeper for you for the whole year at $19.95, at $20. So I would get a beeper turned on for $20 for the year. Then I would take that beeper back and I would take it to my school and I would sell the beeper and I would tell the students it's $20 down and $9.95 a month. So that's when I first learned about cash flow and residual income.
What year was this?
I was, I don't know, I was 14, 15 years old. In the late 90s, yeah, 14, 15 years old, yeah, somewhere around there. So I would get these beepers, and then I would activate them, And I remember activating them and the people paying me. I remember some people not making their payments. And I didn't know, I was like, I'm gonna turn off your beeper, but I didn't know how to turn it off because I paid for the year. So it was so funny, I couldn't turn off their beepers. So I had to go back to the guy and he's like, why do you wanna turn off? You already paid me for the year. So I had to figure out bookkeeping, I had to figure out accounting. So I found a little girl and she would have a little notepad and she would say, okay, this person paid, this person's behind, and she would do all my bookkeeping and accounting for me. So I had the beeper business and I had that running. I was running that for quite a few, while I was in school. That's when I really started learning about business and entrepreneurship.
That's something that at that age, not many kids, how many kids in your class did that?
None. There wasn't many at all.
Yeah, that's really rare. Like, I came from a family of entrepreneurship, but I didn't really execute till I was 22. So you executed it at a young age. What happened as soon as you graduated high school?
When I graduated high school, I wanted to, before I graduated high school, I started buying and selling cars. Right next to my house, there was a little car body shop, a mechanic shop, and I was really buddy with them. Every day I would go over there after school and mess around with cars, and I would buy little cars and try to fix them and sell them. So while I was in school, after I was doing the beepers and stuff, I used to buy and sell cars in school. You need a little car, I have a little Honda Civic, and I was flipping cars at my school. So when I got out of high school, I said I need some more training. I need some more training. I need to train from professionals. I need to learn. You know, flipping cars at school to kids and working with real people, I need to learn. So I said, okay, let me go work at the dealership. I said, well, give me some experience. Let me go work at the dealership. So I went over to Toyota Hollywood. I remember it was Craig Martinez at the time was a general manager.
I know Craig Martinez.
Yeah.
What a small world.
Yes.
Keep going.
He was a general manager at the time, and I went into his office, and I was like, look, give me an opportunity. I want to sell some cars. And he was like, You're green. I was like, I didn't know what green meant at the time. I'm like, no, I'm black. He's like, you're green. I'm like, no, I'm black. I'm like, I didn't know what the heck to say. But then,
excuse me.
And then he's like, well, you don't have a book. And I'm like, what a book? Yeah, I got school books. I got plenty of books. And he was talking about book of business. So I had no clue. I didn't know the car lingo at the time. I was like, give me an opportunity. I was like, give me an opportunity. I wanna sell cars. I've been selling cars for years now. Let me sell some cars. And he's like, no, you're too young. And they didn't want to. I was like, I'm not leaving here until I can sell some cars. I'm not leaving here. I'm just not leaving here. I'm not taking no for an answer. And he was like, man, this guy's very persistent. Let me give him an opportunity. So they told me. They told me to go ahead. You have a week. If you can sell a car in a week, you can stay. If not, you're out of here. So I'm like a little nervous. I'm sweating. I know I can sell, but I'm like, oh, it's a lot of pressure. So actually, the second day I worked there, I never forget. The second day I worked there, this movie producer, he had really, really long hair. He came in and he wanted to buy a Land Cruiser. And it was one of the most expensive Toyota products that they had at the time. It was a Land Cruiser. And he came like, I want that Land Cruiser. I took him on a little test drive. And we came back from the test drive. And I was like, okay, what do I do now? I was like, you're going to buy the Land Cruiser, right, sir? He's like, well, can I get a discount? And I was like, no, sir, there's no discount. This is the price. Is there something wrong with the car? He's like, well, I'm supposed to ask for a discount. I said, no, you only ask for a discount if there's something wrong with the car. The car drives beautiful. Let's go in and sign the paperwork. He said, okay. He signed the paperwork for the full price. And I made a big commission. I was like, wow, that was easy. And that's when I started learning sales tactics, sales strategies, building rapport, working with people. And I started getting a big commission check. So from at a young age, I learned about that. So I was working at a dealership for a while, and that's where I started my entrepreneurship learning as a young entrepreneur.
What did Craig say after your first couple of sales? Did he?
They were surprised. They were very surprised. I was actually salesman of the month there after 3 months, and I was able to, I really excelled in that industry. But I learned a lot, and that was I learned a lot from being around salespeople, learning the goods and bads of the sales business. And that's why I kind of got out of the sales business, because I didn't like some of the business practices that they were offering at that time, and the things that they used to do I thought was unethical. And I come from a strong Christian background, so if something's unethical, I walk away from it. So I kind of pulled out of that industry and got into another industry at that time. But that was one of the reasons why I started. We founded the company that we started today, which is CarVisors. We founded that company because of some of the experiences I had there. I wanted to make a better. I figured it has to be a better way, so I wanted to create a better, transparent car buying experience for customers.
Yeah. So this podcast, which is this perfect topic, we're gonna segue in is technology. Tell us about this CarVisors. I know that the whole car selling thing has kind of been pivoting in a way, new ways of selling cars to customers. I know companies like Carvana, this become like the new middleman, and you know, people don't trust car dealerships. I heard, which is a huge problem. Tell us about CarVisors and what makes it different.
We did a survey when we first started CarVisors. We did a survey and we asked about 1,000 people. Do they prefer to go to the dentist or they prefer to go to the car dealership? And 97% of the people said they prefer to go to the dentist. So I was like, wow, is it that bad? They just didn't like dealing with the car salespeople.
Reason why? Because I think a lot of people think they're going to get screwed over.
Yes.
Like they're going to not double the price, but they're going to amp the price on you and you have no idea.
Yes. So anyways. Yes. So we founded the company. It was Auto Auction Advisors, recently changed it to CarVisors. But what we do is we have a car concierge service. We call it a car buying concierge service. So what we do is we turn the car buying into a concierge service. We like to call it a VIP experience. I like to call it the Ritz-Carlton of car buying because we want to elevate that experience for the customer and turn it into a real concierge service. So that's what we've been able to do with CarVisor. So clients call us up from all over the world, out of country, in country, all over, all 50 states.
Not just Miami.
No. Most of our businesses out of state. So we do customers all. We have a lady that we're working with, her second car, she's in Bahamas. We have people in Puerto Rico that buy cars from us. We can service a customer anywhere in the country. We have people international. A guy called us the other day for 300 cars internationally. So it doesn't matter where the customer is located. We do everything online, but it's a car. We sign you up with a CarVisor. We have your own consultant. And what that consultant does for you is he walks you through the process from A to Z. Questions you may be asking your mom or your sister, your brother, your uncle about, what do I do? What best to bring? But why not ask a professional, somebody that's been doing it over, somebody that does it on a day-to-day basis? You may say, well, should I buy a new car? Should I buy a lease car? Should I buy a Honda? Should I buy a Toyota? If you're looking for a new car now and you like a Toyota, but you talk to a consultant and says, I know you like a Toyota, but right now the Hondas are discounted big and I can get you a great deal on a Honda Accord where you're going to be saving $30, $40, $50 a month. Why wouldn't you pivot to the Honda Accord?
So you switch customers from like, let's say Toyota to Honda, things like that.
Yes. For instance, a guy called me today and was looking for a Tesla. Yeah, he called the office. He was talking to one of the advisors. I ended up talking to him. He says, I'm looking for a Tesla. I want to get a Tesla. I'm going between the Model X and the Model Y. I said, well, what are your goals for this Tesla? How long do you plan to keep it? What features are you looking for? What kind of payment is your comfort zone? So I was able to switch him from the Tesla X to the Model 3.
Why?
Because his budget wasn't up to, I told him you're going to be $900 a month. We got him into a Tesla for $400 a month and he still get the Tesla. Feel. So he was able to drive the car that he wants for $400 a month. I've even talked to people and told them now is not a good time to buy a car based on the consultation and walked away from business. I was in Miami at a place a few months ago I was in a place and a guy walked up to me. He says, are you Calvin? He said, I spoke to you a year ago and you told me not to buy a Tesla. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving me that advice. I'll be ready in 2 months. I'll give you a call.
Calvin, so you're willing to say no to customers,
yes,
even if you're poor?
Yeah, it's a consultation, and the consultation working for the customer. That customer will come back to me a year, 6 months, 3 months, whatever it takes to come back to us. We're an advisor. We're going to advise you whether it's good to buy a car or not, whether it's time for you, whether your budget, whether your driving habits, should you lease, what car is going to last you longer. It's a consultation process.
So you also go into like their finance.
Yes.
Hey, I don't know if you can afford this. $1,000 per month. I mean, yeah, you might sacrifice, but I don't recommend it.
Yes. So we're going to go into their finances, their budget. We're going to try to fit a car within their budget. We're going to look at the maintenance, how much is, we may say, okay, yeah, you can afford $500 a month, but you know this car is going to run you this amount in maintenance. Why don't you go with this car? It's less maintenance. You'll be at the same $500 a month, but you don't have to worry about the $200, $300 a quarter in maintenance. So we're looking at all those things to figure out what's best for our clients. So we've changed the whole game of car buying, and we've turned it into a consulting service, like you have an attorney or a doctor or a lawyer, that we're going to really walk you through and hold your hand and walk you through the process.
Okay, you do that, but you also do some real estate. If you go to your Instagram, which is, what's your Instagram again?
Calvin Vitalis.
You do some real estate, not just in Florida, but also out of state. Tell us how you got into it and why.
Okay, good. When I was in the car business, when I was younger, and I told you I used to work in a car dealership, when I got out of the car business, I was watching a little infomercial. I was watching an infomercial on TV late night, about midnight. It says, oh, if you want to learn real estate, come to our free workshop. And I went to one of the free workshops, and they said, look, we're going to show you how to get involved in real estate. I was young. I was 19 years old at the time, 20 years old. They said, I'm going to let you get involved in real estate. I'm going to show you how to get involved in real estate. And I said, okay, sign me up for the workshop. Went to the workshop. They tried to upsell me. They said, it's $3,000. We're going to do this workshop. It's a three-day weekend, and we're going to give you all this information. I said, sign me up. I went, and I paid the money, and I signed up. I took the workshop, and I learned some of the basic principles about real estate. A lot of what they taught was a lot of wholesaling. It's a system where you can buy and sell real estate without having to own the property. So I learned the basis of wholesaling, and when I did that, when I came back, I was able to flip my first property. And the first 30 to 60 days, I was able to flip my first property, and I made $16,000. And I was like, whoa, I made $16,000.
So you got your investment back.
Yeah, I was able to make $16,000. I was like, man, this thing is real. So I really went into it kind of hard. I went into it hard. I started buying and selling properties, started wholesaling properties. And then I was like, okay, I was doing a lot of, I said, I want to do some of the real estate and some of the mortgage, because when I was selling these properties, the mortgage broker was getting 3 to 6% and the real estate broker. So I'm like, in South Florida, properties are $300,000. I'm leaving another 12% on the table. So we opened up a real estate company called Quick Close Realty and Quick Close Lenders. And we started doing the investment, we started doing the real estate, and we started doing the mortgage. So I was very heavy into that. We had a company for 7-8 years before the market crashed, but we were doing very heavy, and I was living next to Dan Marino and Scottie Pippen. I was doing a lot of real estate. I was buying pre-construction. I was flipping homes.
Before the crash in 08.
Yeah, before the crash in 08. So I was very active in real estate. Got out of the real estate for a little while, got more into the business sector, working with businesses, growing my companies. And then recently I got back into the real estate. I started working with a company called Hero Home Solutions. I partner with the company. So they do a lot of real estate. We have a full real estate office on our second floor of our building. We have reps, we have call center. So we do a lot of flipping in real estate.
Speaking, I know that I mentioned a speaking event about a year and a half ago with Carl Smith and with Alex Quinn and all that. Yeah. Tell us about your experience with speaking.
Well, I'm not a professional speaker. I just like to give back. I like to share my story. I like to come. My thing with speaking is, look, if I can bless somebody else with my story, if I can encourage somebody, if I can motivate somebody, I talk to people all day long. I talk to clients. I talk to customers. I talk to young people. So I'm just about sharing my story. Whether I'm selling a product or I'm sharing what I can do or build value, everything in life is speaking. People say, oh, I don't like sales. When you wake up in the morning and you look yourself in the mirror, you're selling yourself. Everything has to do with speaking. Everybody's a speaker. You get up, you talk to your wife and your husband, you're trying to sell them, I'm a good man, I'm a good kid. Everything revolves around speaking and sales, and so it's just a natural thing for me. People are talking about side hustles. I'm three steps ahead of them.
These side hustles are good?
It's just a word. It's just a catch word.
No, I mean, like, doing them. Is it, should you have a limit to them, besides your main job?
Yeah, I think everybody should have multiple streams of income. I think people say, oh, you can only have one stream of income. I think you should perfect a couple streams before you jump into other streams. But I do think, I think the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire is a billionaire has multiple streams of income. A millionaire might have one big business and they're making a ton of money. A billionaire has multiple assets in different places. They have multiple streams of income. So I think that's what sets. So I do believe in multiple streams of income. But I think you should work on systemizing, automating those those income streams so that it's not consuming you. That if you need to take some time off with your family or you want to go home and have dinner, you can have dinner. Why would you want to work a 9-to-5 job, go home, cook and clean, and then on top of that, you have to work till whatever time at night, 2 o'clock in the morning on your side hustle. So that's not what life is about.
What stands the difference between billionaires and millionaires is the side hustle. Mm. You see these billionaires have their main house, a stream, but then they have, you know, some real estate, they got some crypto, or they got some investments out there. Social media. Mm. You're pretty active on social media. Mm. Tell us your experience and which platform is the strongest for you.
Well, I took a break off of social media for a little while. Sometimes I have a two-edged sword with social media. Social media is a wonderful thing if you use it properly. I think the problem with people that use social media is they have no strategy behind it. I think if you're going to go on social media and you're just going to use it for pleasure or for play, use it for pleasure or play. But if you're going to use it for business, I think you should have a strategy behind it. I think you should be looking at your matrix. You should be looking at when is a good time to post. There's a lot of resources, a lot of apps that can tell you when is your, what is your best engaging content? When is your audience looking? When is the best time to post? I think if you're going to use social media right, you need to have a strategy. You need to sit down with a strategist and sit down with a team and say, okay, we have a social media. What are we doing with this page? What are we trying to accomplish with this page? What do you have to connect with people that liking your page, that's looking at your story? Do you have anything? Do you have any opt-in? Do you have any information to give them? Do you have any value to share with them? What do they want to see? So I think social media can be a great thing if you use it right, especially for business. If you're not going to use it right and you're just using it for pleasure, then who cares what you post? But I think social media is a great tool. I think there's businesses, there's people making hundreds and thousands. I would go into the millions of dollars just on one platform using social media properly. So that's a very key thing that entrepreneurs need to invest in and need to learn.
Which one do you use the most?
I don't know if I use the most. I think right now IG is very hot. A lot of, IG is popular, but I think it's a mix. I think that people can't sleep from Facebook. I think it's mainly going to be your audience. I don't want to say LinkedIn. I'm active on LinkedIn too. So it all depends on your audience. You need to know where your audience are, your demographic. There's people that I connect with on Facebook that don't have an IG, and there's a lot of people that I connect with on IG that don't have a Facebook. So I think it's very important that you're on both platforms, and I think that you need to segment your audience. You need to talk to your audience and see what they want. You know, what are they looking? They're coming to your page. What information can you give them that's valuable, that is a reason for them to come to your page?
I've seen a lot in Clubhouse, a new social media platform that launched about a year ago, but it started getting hot in December and on. When did you start using Clubhouse, and tell me your experience so far?
Okay. Love Clubhouse. I started in Clubhouse. I think somebody invited me in December and I didn't pay it no attention. And then they sent me a link back again in January, and I finally downloaded the link in January. And then I kind of didn't pay it any attention again. I think I jumped back on February. I think I jumped back on it. And then I gave it a little bit of time, and I did a really nice room. I was in a room with the billionaires. It was a billionaire room that I went in, and that really elevated me on the platform. I went into a room with billionaires. It was like, shoot your shot. You're going to pitch billionaires. And the CEO of T-Mobile was in the room. It was Grant Cardone, JT Fox, and a room was almost 5,000 people in the room.
How much was that room worth?
It was worth a lot. It was about, they were saying it was in the billions of dollars worth of net worth in that room. And it was like, can you pitch your business? And then we're going to bring three people up to pitch.
Like Shark Tank.
Yeah, they're going to bring three people up to pitch, and we want to do a deal tonight. So they're going to bring three people up to pitch. So they brought me up to pitch. I didn't even know. It was like 1 o'clock at night and my phone was there. And I see they bring me up as a speaker to speak. And they were like, okay, we're going to pick three people. They picked me. And I was like, what? My phone ping, I was like going crazy.
Wake up.
I was like, okay. Then it was like, okay, we're going to pick three businesses. We're going to pick the this business. So you guys got 2:30. I mean, they got 1 minute to pitch us. And I was up with another guy that did some credit card processing company and another guy. And they were like, after three, we're going to pick one business that we want to question. We're just going to pick one. So the guy pitched, the other person pitched, and I pitched. And and JT goes, which one of these guys you want to hear from? Which one of them you like? They're like, the auction guy, the car guy. And I was like, oh my gosh, they want to hear my business model. I wasn't surprised because I pitched in other places before and they jumped up on, and they say, yo, Calvin, I want to hear your business pitch.
Experience with that.
Yeah, I had experience with that. I had a little experience with it. So what happened was it kind of went crazy because when they got up in the room, I started pitching. They started asking me my numbers and started asking me all these questions, about my business and my numbers and how my revenue and asking me all these questions. And one guy that was in the automotive business was like, what he's doing is illegal. And then they were pulling back of doing a deal. They was pulling back. He can't sell cars online like that. And I was like, I jumped up on the guy and I was like, listen, I've been doing this for 7 years, man. I don't think you know what you're talking about. You better check yourself. I said, this is a real business. We have real sales. We've been helping thousands and thousands of customers. And he was going at me. And then Grant Cardone jumped in and said, yo, I know this guy. He's legit. He's got a real business. Give him a break. And then we were able to connect. But with that room, I was like, no. So I jumped up and I said, do you want to do a deal or not? Are you here to make a deal? And when I said that, the room set on fire. Everybody opened their mics and was like, oh, you got served. I was like, I'm pitching. You want to do a deal or not? You coming up here to knock me or you want to do a deal? My DMs were flooded. I went from 100 followers to 1,500, right around 1,000 followers with one conversation. And my DMs was flooded. They were like, it was madness. So from that experience, I love Clubhouse.
Clubhouse has been effective towards you.
Been able to make a lot of connections on there, a lot of deals.
Your faith, you know, I always see you posting on IG stories about your church. Tell me a little bit about your faith.
Yes, I go to a church here in Davie, Cathedral of Pentecost. Been attending there now for almost 20 years. It's a Christian faith Pentecostal church. Church, and you know, I'm a big believer in living for God and trying to do the right thing. So I'm just really passionate. That's why I like to work with a lot of young people in the church and really give back. So that's why I'm really passionate about helping others, because I think God put us on the earth to help others. I think when he came and he died for us, that's what he did. He gave his soul for other people. So I think that's our mission, to really give back and help people. And I've been able to do that through entrepreneurship and business and really give back and help people. So I'm really passionate about my faith, and I always want to connect with people and share that with them also.
Very, very important. Like when you have faith involved and, you know, becoming a hard worker, that all really meshes well. Calvin, you're a complete man, it feels like. If you had to give advice to a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, same age where you started your entrepreneurship, he's in high school, what would you tell him? And like, this kid wants to be an entrepreneur. What would you tell him?
I would tell him, you know, I think it sounds very basic and very cliche, but I would say, you know, surround yourself with the right people. You know, I would say from a young age, try to get into those right circles, try to get into the right group. I would say surround yourself with the right people. I would say educate yourself. Don't take, I'm playing video games all the time. Educate yourself. Get the knowledge, the YouTube University. So surround yourself with the right people, educate yourself. And the last thing I would say is take action. You know, take action, take massive action. You're 14 years old, 15, take action. Get on the phone, make some phone calls.
You're not too young.
Put a YouTube channel up, take action. It's that's it, I would tell them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, taking action, taking that huge leap of faith, it really pays dividends. Mm-hmm. Like what you did with like the beepers and the cell phones and doing the cars and getting the real estate, getting onto Clubhouse, pitching with billionaires. I think it's definitely, taking that massive type of action. Kevin Vitalis, tell us, what is the best way for people to reach you online? It could be by your car business. It could be just, hey, mentor me. What was the best way to reach you?
Yeah, you can reach me on the social media. It's just my name, Calvin Vitalis. I'm on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. So just message me on any one of those platforms. We're going to be doing a workshop coming up talking about some of these business strategies that I've learned over the years. If you guys would like to get involved in any of the workshops that I'm going to be doing, just send me a message, put workshop in there. I'll get you out the information. You just want to send me a message just to talk, just send me a message, man. I'm here to help. I'm here to give back. I want to help and bless as many people as I can. And once again, I appreciate you having me here today. I had a wonderful time.
Calvin, really blessed. I mean, when I saw you about a year and a half ago, I was like, man, there's something special about this guy. And then it took some time, of course. Yeah. Like the whole pandemic kind of, you know, blocked a little bit of everything. But now that I reconnected with you, it's been a huge motivation. I'm motivated. I don't know. I have no idea about you guys, but I'm motivated. Yes. And anyways, I wanted to say thank you for coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
No problem. Thank you for having me again. Thank you.